If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
While we still embrace the general concept of preparing for war, one thing that I've stressed over the past few weeks is the quote by Sun Tzu, who wrote the book The Art of War. He said that all warfare is built upon deception. And we have been deceived. In order to appreciate the Bible, in order to appreciate the structure of it, the truths of the Word of God, you really have to appreciate history. And not just localized history, but world history throughout different time periods. The Bible is unique in that it is prophetic, doctrinal. It is not dogmatic. Paul does not say that the Word of God is good for dogma. He said it's good for doctrine. It is also scientific. It is medicinal. It is psychological, it is philosophical, it covers all the disciplines of our lives. But there is a great challenge to your absorption of the Word of God. Something prevents you from grasping it. Jesus tries to illustrate this idea in Mark's gospel when he gives us the beautiful story of the sower and the seed. He says that this man goes out to sow seed, and he identifies four types of ground upon which the seed is sown. Because he speaks in parables, he finds it necessary to interpret the parable so that those around may understand the central truth. This particular parable outweighs any other because he states that unless you understand this one, you cannot understand any other. When he identifies the ground, which is the recipient of the seed, he said the first one, the seed has fallen on shallow ground. And then he identifies the shallow ground as the ground that once the seed falls on it, it doesn't have time to soak in because the enemy comes and snatches it away because something prevents it from falling in and germinating. He talks about the other ground, the second ground. He says that's a ground where the seed falls in and you receive the word. It's able to be on you for a while. But then the enemy, and I'm just paraphrasing this part, the enemy will come and subject you to trials and tests that cause you to forget what you rejoiced about the other day. The most deadly of those three negatives is the next one. He said that was the one where the seed falls. It does germinate. It dies. It goes in so that the inner seed comes out from the outer shell and it produces fruit. However, the fruit lacks the ability to continue because the thorns inside choke the fruit, choke the word, so that it does not continue to yield fruit. And obviously the fourth one is the good ground that hears the word. And once they hear the word, they take it in and their lives are changed. My brothers and sisters, I submit to you that when Jesus talks about those three things, why does he say this is so important? Because there's really only one reason that we cannot embrace the word of God, and that is our cultural connection. We have been pre-programmed before we came to God. In fact, depending upon your socialization, how you came up, you may have been pre-programmed to be a failure. Because that's all you heard all your life, that you're never going to amount to anything, that your children are going to be bums, that because everybody else in your family was a bum, you're going to be a bum, you're never going to win anything. And so that caused us to have negative speech. Now, we come to God with the deficiency of social understanding. So why do you call it a deficiency? Because it taught us nothing but negative things. Then it promoted the things that were unnecessary for your existence. You worry more about how you look than what you have in you. Men won't go to urologists, but they'll go to barbershop 2 and 3 times a month. Because they worry more about how they look. We do the same thing in Christ. We are more concerned about our ministry than our walk with God and our fellowship with other believers. We can literally fall into the trap of believing that I don't need anybody else but Jesus, and come into church and isolate yourself and avoid contact with anyone else because you are very spiritual, and wind up being deceived. So when God says, prepare my people for war, what's he saying? Right away, we think we're supposed to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and begin to clothe ourselves with the armor. But I want to tell you that everyone that goes into any branch of military service has what's called basic training. Without basic training to subject you to the military customs and laws and start having you think militarily, you can't just go right into the regular branches. You have to go through basic training. Most of us came to Christ and didn't have any basic training, but we thought we were called into Christian ministry without learning how to use our sword. So we wind up. If you don't go to, look, this is how it works. First, you go to basic. Basic just exposes you to all the basic tenets, rank structure, familiarization with weaponry, so forth and so on. Once you graduate, you get your military occupational specialty. That means this is what you're going to focus on throughout your military career, unless sometime later you want to transfer. But you get that MOS, we call it. All right, now, once you get that, you become proficient in a certain field. If you are a cook, you're not going to be called to fire artillery, or you'll kill everybody. They get on the horn and call it in. You know, I need some HE on coordinates 335-473, and you go shooting off phosphorus rounds, short firing, and killing your own troops because you don't know how. Well, here we have God calling people, so-called, calling people into ministry that haven't mastered the tools. And so when they get up to minister, they wind up with a lot of friendly fire. They're not teaching you how to grow in Christ. They're sniping at you from a distance because of their insecurity. They're putting it on you. Well, this is a form of warfare. What the devil has done, he is so classic. He has two types of tools to use. He has the direct demonized people who are not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can they be. Paul identifies them in Romans chapter 1. These are people sent by Satan to disrupt and destroy the house of worship. But then he has a second group. These are CIA agents. They come in. They don't know they're being used by the devil because they actually think that God has spoken to them. Now, the result is the same. People are being destroyed. Lives are being fractured. Jesus is not being glorified, and so the people are now being subjugated to this mindset that comes from the strongholds of the devil. Since all warfare is based upon deception, how does the devil get into a church? I'll use the term generically. How does he get into a church to bring about its demise? Through deception. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the position, the church, position, the positional church. But you and I both know that satanic workers can come into the congregation and to sow the necessary seeds to bring about its demise. Well, because I'm a pragmatist, I have to find justification for this. I can't just read the Bible and go dancing through the night saying, ooh, praise the Lord, it's true. No, I look for verification. You see, Ronald Reagan used to say this back during the Cold War. He said, trust but verify. Now, I trust God, but I got to verify every voice I hear. I'm not just going to get up and run because God said, oh, praise the Lord, just go and do what I say. I'm not going to do that because I could be wrong. I may want to be a minister so I can tell everybody what to do. And if I have a bad home life where nobody listens to me at home, that may be the impetus for me to want to be a preacher. If I work in McDonald's and I don't have significant financial resources, that may be the reason I need to be in ministry, because I think I'm going to get significant offerings. See, my motivation is being identified by my calling.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
3418A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org. Or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen. That he has in store.